The Chiropractic Philanthropist, episode 167.
Starting your own practice is hard for many chiropractors. It's riddled with both struggles and successes. But here at The Chiropractic Philanthropist, we make it easy by having chiropreneurs and entrepreneurs share their struggles and lessons learned in life and business so that you don't have to make the same mistakes. And now, here's your host, Dr. Ed Osborne.
My guest today on The Chiropractic Philanthropist is Dr. Kelly Pendleton. Dr. Kelly is a chiropractor, a healthcare marketing consultant, professional speaker, and the author of Community Connections, Relationship Marketing for Healthcare Professionals. She's committed to using her experience and expertise to help other healthcare professionals build the practices and lives of their dreams. Now, before we get to Dr. Kelly, let's go ahead and thank our sponsor of today's show, and that is Genesis Chiropractic Software. Genesis offers affordable and fully comprehensive cloud EHR, including scheduling, documentation, and billing. Genesis is famous for the 15 seconds or less soap note, their Kickstart program for new practices, and their work with the highest volume clinics in the country. Head over to Genesis Chiropractic Software for your consultation. Kelly, how are you doing today?
I'm awesome, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm doing awesome. Awesome. I'm so excited that you're going to be on the show today. And, you know, one thing we'd love to do is really just start by you sharing about you. So I would love to hear more about you as a person, but also you as a chiropractor and like a leader and mentor today.
Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on the show. And I'm so excited to share whatever, whatever I can with your audience. So first, for me, my story, I can say, for most of us, chiropractic has really changed my life multiple times. The first time was as a chiropractic patient, my mid-20s, debilitating migraines. It's a story we've heard a million times probably, but seeing a chiropractor literally gave me my life back from a life of misery and pain to one of high function and vitality. And so the second time it changed my life, it was a very easy decision to make to actually become a chiropractor myself. And through that process and the evolution and the education that we go through, and then at the end, to be gifted with this amazing career of being a chiropractor and getting to change lives every day and just see miracles every day. But the third time chiropractic changed my life is what's happening now. And I've begun creating and providing marketing tools, strategies, and consulting for other chiropractors. And if you had told me 15 years ago this was the path my career would take, I totally wouldn't have believed you. But the seeds were really planted early. I can remember being in chiropractic school in clinic and watching classmates and other students really struggling to get their numbers in. And I was trying to remember, I think it was 10 new patients that they had to get in 1 year. Does that sound right? I think it was 10. And we actually had, there were students at the college who had to postpone graduation because they actually couldn't get 10 wow. new patients in a year. I know. And I mean, for me, it was something that came so easy. And it was like a natural aptitude to get out there and talk to people and build relationships and share my passion about chiropractic. And literally people weren't graduating, and it just blew my mind. And so I sat down and I was talking with my clinic director one day. And I said, what is going to happen to these people when they get out into practice? Yeah, I was kind of hoping that there would be like a miracle bestowed upon them at graduation, that they would get out and just be rock stars and be able to get patients in the door. And he shook his head and he said, no, Kelly, it's going to be sink or swim. And some of them will struggle and they will swim, and others are going to sink. And in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years out, they won't be in practice anymore. And I mean, I was heartbroken. And I said, why then aren't we taught this stuff? That's the skill set that we need to be able to market and build our practice. Why aren't we taught that? And that was a whole big discussion. But at one point he said, there's no book, there's no textbook. And I said, somebody needs to write it. Maybe I'll write it. And he kind of tipped his head to the side and he nodded and he said, I think you'd be the perfect person to write it, but not yet. You need to wait, get some experience under your belt. Wow. I said, okay. Yeah. So then I finished school, graduated. And in the first 5 years after graduation, I started 4 practices. And I was fortunate enough to work in 3 different practice models, so independent contractor, associate, and a practice owner, in 3 regions of the country. So I had practices in the Midwest, a practice in New England, and a practice in the Deep South.
Wow.
So not all at the same time, obviously, and they weren't all successful, but that really gave me just such a breadth of knowledge to draw from. And it was a trade-off, though, because I didn't have, like a lot of my classmates, you know, 10 years out, they've been in the same town, in the same practice, and just really have a solid foundation under them in terms of their practice base. And I didn't have that because of the transitions. But at the same point in time, I met just scores of amazing people and had experiences that I wouldn't have had otherwise that now I can share and hopefully help people coming right out of school really reduce their learning curve. About 18 months ago, my fiance, Michael, really started pushing me to write this book that's been rattling around in my head for over 10 years now. And he went so far as he bought the writing desk behind my back. He bought the chair. He set them all up in a room in the house. And then he brought me to the room, sat me down, and he looked at me and he said, "Now write. Just do it. Just write." And so fast forward to today, I have now written and published my first book. It was released about a year ago. And my second book is due out this fall. I'm right in the midst of the editing process. I actively consult with healthcare providers all over the country. And that's new. That's something I'm just starting. But oh my gosh, it's so rewarding to be able to take somebody who's struggling with a challenge and they feel all alone and they're just not confident and be able to help get them through the hurdles and be productive faster. I'm a contributing author for all of our major trade magazines in the chiropractic industry, as well as massage, acupuncture, and I even am a guest blog for some medical doctor websites, believe it or not. So I definitely plan to return to practice in another year or so, but this experience has completely enhanced my chiropractic career in a way that I just never had imagined. But honestly, I can't wait to see where it takes me. I can't wait to see where it winds up. So it's really exciting.
Yeah. And I think it's a really incredible conversation we're having is that, you know, even yourself, you're serving as a chiropractor by teaching other chiropractors to become more successful and help people in their community. So you're still practicing, you could say, because at least that's what I say for even myself. I was in my practice the other day, and even though I'm not adjusting patients, I run into patients who haven't seen me for quite some time. Uh-huh. And I explain to them, well, I'm still practicing. I'm just doing it in a different way now. I help other chiropractors. And
wow.
Yeah, I love that feeling. It's very fulfilling, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I kind of fast forward a little bit. That is something that I've struggled with. So hearing what you've just shared just like completely reframes it for me. So thank you.
Well, and even to circle back on that conversation about, you know, the in clinic, I think I was one of the first people or one of the first interns. I was actually the first intern in my class to graduate, but almost it was like one of the fastest ever, I think.
Yeah.
And what I would do is I would just simply leave class before lunch. I think you had to get into line it was like a walk-in line. You had to get your name on the list first, and then they would mm-hmm. call you. So I would go and wait 45 minutes, half hour, just sit there outside the door waiting to sign up and be on the walk-in list.
Wow.
And then the other thing I did was every time I got a list of all the interns that were graduating. Mm-hmm. And I went up and I introduced myself to every one of them. I made purposely just went and found everyone. And I said, I found out what technique they specialized in. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Hi, you know, I'm new. I'm just starting an intern. My name's Ed, and I specialize in so-and-so."
Yep.
And really, I didn't. But I learned real quick, and it was a great experience. And yeah. I love, again, I really think that this is a valuable conversation because there's those chiropractors who are those baby chiropractors that are interns that really need to step outside of it. I'm an introvert, so for me, that was a big step. But just to get outside of themselves, for you, it was your, you know, sitting down and writing your book.
Yeah. And, you know, a couple other things that I saw back then too, I actually had classmates who paid people to be their patients. Like they were that desperate. They said, "I will pay your fee to be a patient and I will give you $50 on top of it if you will please come in and be my patient." And, you know, ethically, that's not so, that's not so great. And it just, you know, I just, they really struggled. And the other thing that I would see is that they would get so caught up in having to get those 10 new patients. And at our school, and what school did you go to?
Life West.
Life West. Okay. I went to Logan, and at Logan anyway, faculty and staff counted it differently in terms of your adjustments. And so what would happen is they would stop being willing to adjust faculty and staff because it didn't count for as much because they were so stressed out about getting those other, you know, the new patients in. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that was another lesson about, wow, you know, we're in this for service, and that's, they've kind of lost sight of it because they just got frantic.
Yeah.
And so just really taking a deep breath and remembering that you're here to serve and to give back and to everybody, and the numbers will come. If you're listening and you are still in school, the numbers will come. I promise you. Just take a deep breath.
I think the only thing that I would have changed about that time is that even because I got those credits so quickly, as soon as I got them, I transferred every patient out of my care.
Wow.
Immediately. Yeah. And I don't regret it, but I think that was the one thing I would change, and I would go back and I would have worked with those mm-hmm. people more. I would have practiced my skill, and you know, it was something I learned when I was in practice, but it that time, that experience as an intern is so valuable. And it's not even just about getting those 10 people. It's about really, you know, refining your skill as a chiropractor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And even for those that are just out, you know, in the first couple of years, when you have patients in your actual practice that are your friends or coworkers or colleagues or whoever they are, that's again an opportunity to really refine your skills as a chiropractor and your communication skills. I mean, all of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. So Kelly, I'd love to hear actually your affirmation or your positive quote. Could you share that with doctors?
I would love to. My fiance always used to call me the quote lady because I have a quote for every occasion. But the one that currently just really resonates for me is by Joshua Maureen, somebody who most people have never heard of before. But he said that challenges are what make life interesting, and overcoming them is what makes life meaningful.
Wow.
And yeah. And for me, it's just so profound because my career, you know, with all of the different styles and locations that I practiced in, obviously I've had several challenges along the way, but each one has given me something I wouldn't have received otherwise. It's put me in a new position or a place. And it's the challenges and the work to overcome them and the lessons that you learned. That's what makes your life have meaning and impact. So it's kind of like, you know what, this situation sucks, but how did it serve me, and how does it help me achieve my bigger mission? And so for me, that's one of my favorite quotes today.
Beautiful. And I mean, challenges, that's what we love to talk about on the Chiropractic Philanthropist. So let's go there. Mm-hmm. I mean, cool. Yeah, I love to say as chiropractors, we eat struggle for lunch.
Yes, we do.
We do constantly, it seems. So is there ever a time where you had a challenge, a tragedy, you fell flat on your face, what you experienced, what happened, and then why it was positive, what you took from it, the lessons, and how you applied them to either your business or your life?
Yeah. And honestly, I really have to think about this because there have been several I could pick from. But I've decided to take a lesson from you and Karen and be brave and share something that is hitting home right now and that is more emotional than just like, oh, you know, I hit a dry patch and didn't have money, or, you know, we all have those, by the way, for all you listening, we all have those times too. But the one that I want to talk about is, we've actually already kind of touched on it, and that was my decision to take a break from practice to focus just completely 1,000% on writing and publishing books and resources for healthcare professionals. I love being in practice, and I get tremendous results with my patients. And I think part of that is because we connect on a very genuine level. And I love that. It was not a decision I made lightly to step away from that temporarily. It was a really emotional decision. And honestly, there are still days I struggle with, did I make the right decision? But what you said at the beginning of the conversation really helped. And the other thing that I keep coming back to is the realization that if I am in practice, then I can help a finite number of people. I can help my patients. I can help, you know, their families and my circle of chiropractic friends who may have marketing questions or whatnot. But if I take the time out and create these quality resources and the books and et cetera, I can literally help chiropractors all over the world for who knows how long, for them to be more successful in practice. And we know that if chiropractors aren't successful in their business of running their practice, then they can't help anyone. So if they're helping more people, then in return, I'm helping more people. And that's a mission that's just so much bigger than myself. It kind of got to the point where I felt almost selfish staying in practice and not writing these books. So I really had to just be brave and say, okay, I'm going to take that leap of faith and it's going to be the right thing. And then in terms of the lesson that I've learned, I think it's funny how sometimes you hear the same lesson multiple times until you finally get it. But when I was in chiropractic school, one of our radiology instructors, his name is Dr. Robert Kuhn, and he was asked in class one day, you know, why aren't you in practice? How come you're just a DACBAR, just a chiropractic radiologist? And he answered very honestly, and he said that he had learned early on in his chiropractic education that the world didn't need another average chiropractor, but that the world desperately needed a gifted chiropractic radiologist. So that for me at that time, it was very interesting, but now that's the lesson that I'm learning right now, that sometimes the biggest contribution you can make to the profession that's given you so much has nothing to do with seeing patients in your practice. And yeah. And that's kind of what we were talking about at the beginning with you and this, the podcast. So kind of full circle now.
Mm-hmm. I call it inspired purpose. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I struggled with that for a long time and I still struggle with it. Like I said, I was in my practice yesterday mm-hmm. and seeing people that I'd, you know, helped over like 10, 11, 12 years come in and they're like, oh, we miss you so much. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult. But then I just explain to them what I'm doing now. And how I am helping other chiropractors help other people in their community, and they get it, yeah. They get it, you know.
Yeah.
But it's also good to know too that you can help people and help our profession in just different ways too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that story. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Yeah, you're welcome.
So, tell us a little bit about your newest book. So. The book that you just sent me, it was your previous book, right? You have a new book that's coming out, but tell us about that one and how that one came about.
Sure. Okay. So when I sat down to write my book, when Michael, you know, sent me into the room and said, just write, after about a week, I came out and I said, I don't have a book. And he said, what do you mean you don't have a book? You've been thinking about this for a decade. Well, I said, no, I think I have two books, maybe three or four. I'm not really sure yet, but it's definitely more than one. So the first book, Community Connections, the one that I sent you
mm-hmm,
is,
that's what I have.
Right. And that is all about connecting with your community and building relationships. And it really focuses on external marketing, which I defined as anything you do outside the four walls of your practice. So there's all kinds of information, you know, in the chapters, in the beginning chapters, and the last several chapters are, it's almost like a cookbook. It's a how-to. If you want to do a 5K, but you've never done one, how do you pull it off? What things do you consider when you are making your business cards? I mean, just real simple. Some of it's very simple, but if you have never been told or taught, then you don't know. So the second book is called Practice Excellence, and it really is focused on the integration of community connections, internal marketing, meaning anything you do inside the walls of your office, as well as practice management strategies. And again, it's all about the business. It's twice as long as the first book, and I'm super excited about it because I just think this is really the meat of my message. So it covers everything from what practice structure is right for you, to what kind of decisions do you have to make, to what about employees, what do you do with them, how do you handle them, documentation, my favorite two chapters in that book. The one chapter is called Small Hinges Swing Big Doors. And I stole that from Michael Hyatt, and I've written a blog about it, but it's just the concept that small things can make a huge impact. And so we talk about the small things that you can do to make a big impact in your practice. And then my other favorite chapter in the book is my chapter on unmarketing. And I love it because people are like, what is that? Yeah. What? Never heard of that before. And that's the chapter about all the little things that we do that we don't realize that we do that completely subvert our attempts to market our practice effectively. And then the final chapters of that book are, again, kind of the cookbook section, but it's about internal marketing. So like if you wanted to do a patient appreciation day, how do you do that? So basically these two books combined are what I wish I had had when I graduated.
Yeah. Sounds like a whole coaching program and a couple books actually.
Yeah. You know, that's exactly what Michael keeps saying is that it's like they're getting, you know, a whole coaching program for the price of, you know, two books. And I think of what I would have paid for that when I was just out of school.
Yeah.
Man, I would have paid $1 million.
Yeah. Especially for the business coaching, it's invaluable.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I talk about the numbers, and there's a whole big chapter on how to take care of yourself and take care of your team, because, you know, your staff is everything. If you're not taking care of your staff well, your practice can sink almost overnight. So, it's 22 chapters, something like that. But, you know, it's about 200 pages. So it's totally manageable and doable. And, like I said, that should be out, hopefully by late fall. I'll be done with the editing process and get that out.
Beautiful. And Dr. Kelly, we're going to take you into Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to do is put you in a time machine and we'll send you back to a younger version of yourself. And this is right after you came out of chiropractic college and you have all the current knowledge and experience that you have today. So what would you say to that younger self?
In terms of the path that I have taken, what I would say to my younger self is don't wait. Don't wait to share your knowledge with everybody else until you feel like you're the expert. Because for those 10 years that I wasn't writing these books, it was that little voice in my head that kept saying, who am I? Who am I to write these books to contribute back to this profession? I mean, shouldn't it be like Guy Riechmann or somebody writing these books? I mean, I'm just little old me. Like, who am I? And I don't, you know, I don't have $1 million practice and I don't have 16 associates. And so who am I? But when Michael sat down and read my material, he just looked at me and he said, you need to share this. Cause I had told him, I don't care if I never sell a single copy. I just need to get it out of my head.
Yeah.
And he said, you need to share this. He said, think back to when you were new in practice and there were no resources to help you. He said, this is gold. You can't keep this to yourself. And the reality is, unfortunately, that there are chiropractors out there who are struggling. I mean, and that's part of the reason why you do this podcast, which is amazing, but practices are closing. And those, they might be helped by the knowledge that I have. And I feel that our profession is so incredible and we truly have the potential to change the world, you know, the health, the economy, not just of a country here or there, but of the entire world. And so what I kind of take from that is not just for chiropractors in practice, trying to spread the word of chiropractic and share their passion with people, but also for chiropractors kind of taking a different path like you and I have done and trying to share something else with other chiropractors, staying silent and small out of fear is completely unfair to the profession. And it's unfair to the people out there who need you, because we all have a unique voice and a unique message, and to stay silent it's just a shame. So I wish that I could go back and tell myself, just do it. Don't wait.
And I love the message. You know, part of what my strong beliefs are, and I'm sure for you too, is it's all, life is about constant expansion and growth.
Absolutely.
And as we learn things, you know, whether we feel we're the ultimate expert or not, I mean, it's all about studying and then it's about teaching. And I think if we as chiropractors did a little bit more of that, we'd be a little bit more successful as a profession, or I shouldn't say successful, but be seeing much more of the population and contributing on a wider scale worldwide in terms of healthcare.
Right, right. And if we spent more time supporting each other mm-hmm. with things like the podcasts that you do, or social media or whatever, just really supporting each other, then again, we could really, maximize our reach also.
Absolutely. And so let me ask you this question. I mean, what is the best advice that you have ever received?
The best advice I've ever received is simply to remember that there are no mistakes, that every single action and especially every challenge and a hurdle that serves you in some way. So you just have to be willing to be uncomfortable through that process and to keep an open mind and reflect back and just be on the lookout for how does this serve me? How does this, like I mentioned earlier, how does this help me reach that greater mission in life?
And how about invaluable resources? So anything that you think doctors listening to this right now should go and either, read, either listen to, anything at all, technology.
Sure. Sure. So I can answer this from kind of two approaches. And the first is chiropractically. I think it's so important for us to keep our feet on the ground and remember why we do what we do. And it doesn't matter if you're straight or a mixer. It doesn't matter what technique. Whoever it is, whatever it is chiropractically that lights your fire, remember to keep doing that. So for me, it's listening to things like this crazy cool podcast called The Chiropractic Philanthropist, Stigafoos, DeMartini, Sue Mortar. Those are the ones that resonate for me, but I think it's so important to kind of keep grounded in our profession. But in terms of marketing with intention, the best resource that I'm aware of at this point is my website. I've spent a lot of time and effort to build that website to be not just a resource, but also a community. It's my hope for it. So there's a blog, there's a Q&A section, tons of free downloads. I'm constantly adding to it and changing it up. I've developed jumpstart kits, which are for chiropractors who want to go out and deliver a talk in their community, but don't have the time or the expertise with PowerPoint to develop it. It's a complete talk. It's customizable. So they get the PowerPoint file, they get the talking points, and they get all the handouts that they would need to deliver a talk. And it's fully researched and fully referenced. There's actually one on there that is completely free download. So chiropractors can kind of get a feel for what the jumpstart kits are. And it's just a general wellness 101 workshop, which we've all been asked to do before. And then, like I said, I'm constantly adding, so check back frequently. And if there's anything that would be useful that's not on there, then shoot me an email and I'll be happy to look into it.
Beautiful. And listeners, you can head over to thechiropracticphilanthropist.com. And we'll have a webpage actually dedicated to our discussion with Dr. Kelly today as well. Dr. Kelly, could you share your website as well?
Sure. It's drkellypendleton.com. So that's Dr. D-R Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y, Pendleton, P-E-N-D-L-E-T-O-N. And I do also have a sign up where people can get a free healthcare marketing tip of the month as well.
Outstanding. Thank you for that. And I've truly enjoyed our conversation today. Really great value you've brought to listeners. And I encourage everyone to head over to The Chiropractic Philanthropist, look up your page and the links here, I should say, and we'll head over there and sign up for the free tips, the strategies. Take advantage of everything that you have to offer on your site. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's been really fun.
So you've heard the struggles, you've heard the successes, and this episode is done. But there's still so much more to come and so much more to learn. Head on over to thechiropracticphilanthropist.com and sign up for our newsletter, where you'll receive free practice building tips and strategies, including how to market your practice with your very own podcast and so much more. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on The Chiropractic Philanthropist.